This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
If you will turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, that's Hebrews, James, and Peter. 1 Peter. The title of the message tonight is Prayers That God Hears. Prayers That God Hears. If you'll join me in prayer. Father, I thank you that I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, O God, that you are the God that every spirit must bow to, that every demon of hell must bow to, that everything of the devil, everything of darkness must bend its knee, and its power is broken when Jesus Christ comes. Lord, we are looking to you tonight to do something, O God, that only you can do. We look to you, a mighty God, to come now and be, O God, what you alone can be, which is God to us, God reigning over us and God reigning in us and giving us the power, O God, to speak your name and to see the power of hell broken in the lives we speak to. Lord, I thank you that our prayers, O God, will be heard tonight. I thank you, O God, that you've brought us to a place and a time such as this, that you may do your will in us and through us. Lord God, this city must bend its knee. Lord God, the demons must bend their knee. And God, tonight, willingly, we bend our knee, acknowledging our great need of you and acknowledging what an awesome God you are. We look to you, God, to do something awesome in our midst and in our hearts and through us. Lord, have your way and be glorified, Lord. Be glorified in us. And we praise you and we love you tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I'm excited about these next 3 days because prayer and fasting works. Because God hears prayer. And there are certain kinds of situations that when prayer and fasting are combined, that hell is in a panic about. That the demons of hell and the enemy himself would try everything he can to divert a praying people, a people who will believe their God, to try to shut them down and divert them. But those that come, knowing that they just bring a little tiny seed of faith, a mustard seed of faith, and they come with a heart that says, God, I give it to you, and what you speak to my heart, I'm trusting you for the power to believe you to do it. And I thank God that in these next 3 days, that God's going to speak wonderful things to us because he's an awesome God. But things must be done God's way for God to answer prayer. You see, God doesn't answer any prayer. God doesn't answer prayers from our own heart many times. But there is a reason when God would gather his people to pray, he wants to, when they come in Jesus' name, believing him, he has an agenda. He has something that a work he wants done. But before we look around us to see what that work that he wants to say to us, that we can pray and things happen, that God answers the prayers we pray, we need to recognize something that God has, I believe, put on my heart for us tonight. You see, when we pray, we are moving in the offensive. We're moving onto the devil's ground. We are all of a sudden taking the offensive. We're taking the war to the enemy's camp. And we're going to have opposition. But what we must understand is that when we want to come and pray believing prayers, fervent prayers, focused prayers, that our conscience, if we're walking with God, is going to get very sensitive. You see, in order for God to hear us, we, the vessels, must be clean. In order for God to move the way he wants to move and answer our prayers the way that he will answer our prayers, God is going to take any issue or any controversy that he has with us, and he says it has to be dealt with. Now, it doesn't matter if it's a 3-day fast, 21-day fast, or a 40-day fast. God is not impressed with the length of our fast. He's not even impressed with what we're giving up for him. But what he is impressed is that we come determined to pray God's way, the way God answers, the way that God all of a sudden bursts onto our heart and mind as an all-powerful God. The kind of prayers where we close our eyes and we lift up our voice, we know it is the Lord God who is hearing, and that if he so chooses, he can change things in an instant. Things that are long-standing, things that look hopeless, things that have been devil-dominated for so long. When we pray the kind of prayer that we know that it is a God, that in his pleasure and in his an instant, he can break through. He can do the miraculous. He can transform the situation. But God wants us to get to that kind of vision of him. And many times we come to him with our head hanging. We come to him in our heart saying, Lord, we need you and we know you alone can do this. But there is not that kind of boldness and confidence in us when we go to pray, because we are not praying the kind of prayers God can answer. So in Psalm 24 it says, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy hill? Who is a generation that seeks him? Who is a generation that's heard by him? The Bible says clearly, he that has clean hands, a pure heart, and has not lifted his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And I believe that a time of fasting means a time of heart search. I believe that God tonight wants to speak to us about two issues, so that when we stand a mighty army to our feet, we have felt his cleansing touch. Issues or controversy that he may have with us are dealt with. Because you see, God has an incredible call on your life and my life. You and I are going to make a difference. You and I are going to pray prayers that will be heard. You and I are going to cause panic in hell. You and I, not because of who we are, but because as we pray God's way, he answers and things happen. And God is saying that in this time when he gathers us together, if there are issues in our heart that he has to deal with, that has to be dealt with first. We have to do things God's order. We have to do things God's way. Some of you may have had a very few tough days. I know I have. That's because God wants to answer our prayer tonight, that God is raising issues. And the two issues that I feel that God has been speaking to me and through me to you is found in 1 Peter. And chapter 1 Peter 1, verse 5 says, you, meaning us who are the Lord's, you are kept by the power of God through faith. Those that know Jesus Christ, walk with him. God's saying that we are kept by the power of God through faith. And it says, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. And this is the testimony of any person that knows Christ as their Savior, is that we have been saved by a power greater than ourselves. We've come knowing our need, and he has come in and brought light into our darkness. We have been transformed because he's come into our heart. And strongholds have been broken, and we have been changed, and our mind has been renewed, and we think differently. And the Bible says that we greatly rejoice in this. And everyone that has the Spirit of Christ, there can come a time that we can sing the songs of Zion because the words are true, because it's our experience, because we have known the power of God in our lives. But this verse goes on and says, though now, even though we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And this is speaking to me that We love the Lord and we are called His, and then it's telling, but there is a season we are going to be in heaviness. That this is going to be the experience of every Christian life. It is not the aberration, and it's not because God is mad and pushing us away. On the contrary, God says, you're going to find out how kept we are by the power of God. We're going to find out that areas of repeated failure are areas where there has been no breakthrough of the devil. We're going to find that the lie is that there's no hope. We're going to find out that the lie is that we are kept by the power of God. That if we will bring situations to Him that He's speaking to us, and we hold them up by faith, and we say, I refuse to believe that God's power stops at this problem of mine. I refuse to believe that God doesn't see my struggle or know what's going on in my life. That God, I'm going to come repeatedly, and I'm not going to be turned away, because your word to me is, I'm kept by your power through faith. And so I will not be turned away where there is areas that the devil seems to dominate. I will not be kept from crying out to you and knowing your power, that I'll be kept. If I need deliverance in my thought life, I'm going to have deliverance. I'm going to be kept by your power. Your word to me is that you're going to keep me. You're going to keep me from the devil dominating me. You're going to keep me from besetting sin that keeps me in his control. You are going to keep me by your power through faith. That's your word to me. But there's going to be times of heaviness, because the enemy is going to stand up and roar. We're going to gather for times of prayer, and he's going to say, you think your prayer is going to be heard? He wants us to come in the sanctuary with our head hung down, knowing that God is able. But there are areas where we feel so inadequate. There are areas where it just seems hopeless around us. I was leaping in my spirit when I heard tonight that when I heard in the Holy Ghost that God wants to break the power of lust. God wants to break the strongholds of lust. There are people that their minds are dominated by lust, and there seems to be no way out. But if we serve the God who says, you are kept by my power, there has got to be something there that's truth. And there is something of truth there. But God says there are times of heaviness through manifold temptations. There are times where God's word seems to mock us, where we are in heaviness because the temptations, they're many and they're varied, come against us. And we seem to say, where is the God of Elijah in my life? Where is the God? I see him, you know, I see him in testimonies. But where I struggle the deepest and the most repeated, God, in this manifold temptation, your word seems to mock me. I have cried over things. I have wept over things. I've surrendered areas I shouldn't have surrendered. But it seems, God, that I just come to your house and love you. But in vital areas, in my mind, in my thought life, I seem to have no victory. And I'm in a heaviness. And it's now we have a prayer time, and we're going to come and we're going to take the city. And yet it's the enemy seems to have taken a portion of my heart, where the enemy seems to dominate my thought life, where I get around certain people in certain situations and I have no control. That in the heaviness that comes because in temptations, I don't seem to win. God is saying that I'm going to bring you to a place, because you're going to know that you're going to be kept from repeated failure by my power. You're going to be kept from destruction. You're going to be kept by my power through faith. You're going to be kept and brought into a breakthrough. But there are times where you and I have to know the strength of the sin we face, and we have to get a perfect hatred in our heart for the enemy. We have to get a perfect hatred in our heart for sin, because I'll tell you, when this begins to form in us, we cry out to a God alone who can deliver us. And we've got to know some victory in our heart to have that kind of testimony that impacts the city. So the Bible says that the trial of your faith, verse 7, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire. God says there's going to be times that your faith and my faith are going to be tried by a fire. The manifold temptations that come of us, sometimes it's because the temptations that seem to be back at our door seem to be temptations that we've left a long time ago. It seems like we had victory over them one time. What are they doing back? What are they doing all of a sudden rearing their ugly head now? almost mocking us, saying, you thought you were done with this? You thought this was part of your testimony, that God has delivered me from this, but now what's back in my mind, what's back at my heart? There are some for the manifold, this heaviness that comes, it's like a despair. It's like, God, I know you can deliver me. Why haven't you delivered me? I've cried tears over this. God, I hate this. And this heaviness that comes, it's like, Lord, I want to believe you. I want to believe you right through to a glorious victory in my heart and in my family. I know you can, but there seems to be a despair that wants to creep over me. There seems to be, when I'm alone or when I'm in certain situations, all of a sudden the blackness envelops me and the enemy mocks me, and I have no power over what comes out of my mouth. I have no power over what rages in my heart. And yet I know, God, you are the Most High God. But there's a heaviness upon me. For some, there is like a trial of their faith where there's no answers. Where there is, God, you know the longing of my heart. Why would you not give it to me? God, I'm not asking you for a bad thing and a wrong thing. God, I'm asking you to move. I'm asking you to show yourself. And yet the Bible tells us that as believers, there will be a trial of our faith. God says, in my eyes, it's more precious than gold. But there's going to be a time where your faith and my faith are going to go into the fire. And in that kind of fire, the Bible says we can know, if need be, it's a purposeful trial. It's a purposeful time in our life. And the Bible says that in verse 13, I believe, is the key to what the Lord is going after when we go through these kind of trials, and what God is going after when he says, you're going to learn something, you're going to be kept by my power, you're not going down, and I'm going to answer that prayer. You are going to know my power in your life. You are going to know what it is to pray and have the answer to your prayer. You are going to know that I am the Lord God that ruleth over your life. That the enemy does not get the last word. He does not rule your life. He does not have dominion in your life. There are times that it seems sorely tested and the questions rise up. But now God says, no, I have purposed this time. Because for you and I to pray believing prayers, we have to know that God, his power is what keeps us, and that we can pray prayers that come against the enemy and cause a panic in hell, because we are confident in our God. We've been brought through a fiery trial, and we are confident in him. We have seen him move finally. We have had that breakthrough. And his word tells us in verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. I like that line. The loins of your mind. That's an interesting phrase. You see, the loins is the part of the body that procreates, that gives life. The loins are the part of the human body that is able to give life. Now it's talking about girding up the loins of your mind. The Bible is telling us that the mind is capable of creating life. And creating a life of its own. Creating a world that wants to tell us when we can escape to a mind where there is a lot of life, where there is a lot of situations being created in our mind that seem to give life to our life, that seem to dominate us. The Bible says that we're to gird up, in other words, we're to wrap and we're to surround our mind with the Word of God, and we're to understand that you and I, if we're in Christ, we have the power to discern what is true life going on in our mind and what is a created mind by the enemy, a created understanding by our own flesh, a created scenario by the world. The loins of our mind. What kind of life is being created in our mind? The Bible says that we're to gird it up. We're surrounding it with the Word of God. Surround it with our prayer. Surround it by taking a courageous stand and saying, you know what? What's going on in my mind right this moment, I judge it in Jesus' name. I am not going to let things be birthed into my mind, created by the loins of the world, the devil, or what's around me, and create life and tell me this is my reality. No, but God says if Christ be in me, that he comes, he is truth, and he is reality, and he gives me power to discern what's going on in my mind and what the source of it is. And then he says he gives me the will to come against what is not of him. Beloved, sometimes things in our minds, they have life, and that's why we are led by this thought life, and we react. But at that moment when our heart troubles us, when sin now is starting to lead us down a path, the Holy Spirit will be faithful and say, stop. The Holy Spirit will trouble us and say, no, this is of the enemy. The Holy Spirit will say, now, you give it to me. You give me your will. You mix your will now. I have given you. It's for freedom Christ died. And you and I have a freedom of the will. You see, if the enemy comes into our life, he takes that freedom of our will and he dominates it so that he leads us. He was the one who directs us. But when Christ comes into our life, he breaks the power of the enemy and his right to lead us. And his right to dominate us. Stand up to him and find out he's a liar. When situations in our mind now start to dominate, start to create those feelings of anguish, start to create everything that they bring, you and I, in the power of Christ, can discern it and say, Lord, right now, I know this is the enemy, and I know that in my flesh, I just want to play this out. I just want to get angry. I just want my own way. I just want my lust to lead me. But God, right now at this moment, I put my will to this, the one that you freed me from the power of the enemy now, and I'm going to put you to the test. And God, this life, the loins of my mind, this life that's been created and inserted in me, discern what it is. And if it is the enemy, I put my will to it, and I call on your name. And I ask you now to intervene. And beloved, when we begin to pray that kind of thing, you're going to know we're standing in a fire. I'll tell you, if you've ever had to wrestle with your mind, and if you're alive, you have had to wrestle with your mind. When you begin to wrestle with your mind, we're into a fight we've never been in before. It's not like a fight of the flesh. This fight of the mind is real. It's what causes people to spin off into despair and lose their mind. But God says, you're going to be kept by my power in this. You're going to be kept in it. But stand up and find out that there is power in you, it is me, and the powers of darkness and the life that the enemy's created in your mind will be broken if you'll give me your will and call on me. God says, gird it up, surround your mind. All of a sudden, those Bible verses and what you've heard to be true, now we have to put it to practice. Now what we're going to know what it is to stand in a fire and debate that enemy and say, I will not in Jesus' name. And you know, when you're standing in a fire, every second seems like a minute. Fire is agony, but fire is cleansing. And when we stand up in Jesus' name and say, I am not going down this path in my mind this time. I'm not going to be led by my lusts. This time, there may be a fire burning in me, but there's a greater fire, the fire of the Holy Ghost. There may be a lion roaring in my mind, but there's a greater lion, the Lion of Judah. And you and I have to learn what this power is. We have to gird up the loins of our mind and discern what kind of life has been created here. And everything that's not of the Holy Ghost, we have the power to judge it. We have the power to refuse it. We have the power to call on our God and win this battle. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. That word sober means proper thinking. That word sober means limits to freedom with proper thinking. That means there are thoughts we can think. There are fantasies we can escape to for comfort. There are things that we can go in our mind. But if we say, Lord, you know what you want for my life. You know how you've given me your life to make a difference. And I give you permission. I want you to reign in my thought life. And when you begin to quicken me that these thoughts that have life in themselves, I ask you to come and judge it. I ask you to come and overpower it. I submit it to you. Beloved, you know, sometimes we can say, Lord, you just come and take this. But I'll tell you something. When we're talking about the battle of the mind, our will has to be engaged. We have a part to play in this. Our part is to say no. Our part is to say, Jesus, come. Jesus, I give it to you. Jesus, I believe you. Lord, give me a scripture now. Let me fight the devil here where he has won so many times. But you say that you're going to keep me by the power through faith. That means you're going to quicken this word. And by faith, it's going to come now. And it's going to be the power that's able to defeat what used to defeat me. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, because you and I are going to have the ability, the freedom to say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not thinking this anymore. I'm not giving in to this pettiness anymore. I'm not being given over to the jealousy. I'm not being given over to the anger. I'm not being given over to the lust. God, you're going to come where it counts the most in my thought life, because your word says to me, I can gird up the loins of my mind. I can wrap it up in truth. I can wrap it up and call on your spirit. I can know victory in my mind because you say, you keep me through your power, through faith. So I'm going to bind it up. And it says, be sober, have a right way of speaking and thinking, and hope to the end. The Bible is saying those that are right thinking in Christ can hope to the end. Those that are getting somewhere in Christ are not going to be pushed off our ground by the thought it is hopeless. Yes, you and I have feelings, and yes, there are days we feel it's hopeless and despairing. But when we come back to our right mind, when we call on the mind of Christ that's been given us, he says, no, you hope to the end. My arm's not too short. I'm still God in you. It doesn't matter if you failed on this all your life. I tell you, there's a day of freedom, and it's now. God is saying hope to the end. Those that have the right mind, they can hope to the end. We are not going to be pushed back off this. We're not going to live in a heap of despair, saying even though most of my life the enemy is manipulated here, you say if I gird up the loins of my mind, I have the ability to hope to the end. Hope till I have the victory. Hope till the end of this oppression and this lust is broken in my life. The mind of Christ says hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought you. There's going to be a grace brought you. There's going to be a grace brought me if we'll gird up the loins of our mind. There's going to be a grace brought us. That's enough work for you and I to stand and oppose the enemy in this mind. God says, don't worry, I'll show up and I'll bring grace to you. You're going to have the ability to hope to the end and never give up till you have the breakthrough, because it's going to be very valuable when you learn to pray for the hopeless around us. We have to know it first. The Bible says, as obedient children, who are obedient children? Those that are taking verse 13 to heart, where we're going to gird up the loins of our mind. It says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You know, this verse is telling me, beloved, that if we let our mind run rampant, we're being fashioned by our thoughts. If we say, name the name of Christ, but we want our thought life to be our own business, thank you very much, or think that because our thoughts are hidden, they can go unchecked and uncensored. But the scripture says they fashion us. The scripture says that what we think in our mind, so a man is. And we're fashioned by what is dominating our thoughts. And that's why sometimes we end up with such warped speech. That's why we end up with such warped attitudes. That's why we end up with resentments that won't go away. That's when we know in our mind, I have no reason to feel this way, but still, the resentments and the bitterness and the anger seems to rage on in our hearts because the mind is unchecked and uncensored and we're being fashioned by what we are thinking. And thoughts and things that we won't deal with over time, they become strongholds, they become obsessions. And it is for freedom Christ died. You and I have the power in us to check these thoughts. We have to want to. Some of us are getting to the place where we are just thinking about wanting to. That's the truth. It's a strange thing to me, but it's true. Bitterness is sometimes very enjoyable. So is hatred and so is resentments. Some of us, we have walked with these things for so long, we don't know who we'd be if they were taken away from us. Some of us, we're so fashioned by desiring and becoming obsessed with the relationship, with the sex outside of marriage, with the money, the shopping. We're becoming misshapen. We're being fashioned by the former lusts, the scripture says. Because if we're disobedient children, we're not girding up the loins of our mind. What's being given life to our mind, and we won't judge it, we won't deal with it. We're letting the world, we're letting people tell us what our reality should be. And the Holy Spirit is in us being faithful, saying, no, I have something that's so awesome for you. I will be God to you. I will deliver you. And when you pray, you're going to pray prayers that shake this city. If you will let me fashion your mind, if you will give me your thought life, if you will give me what it is I'm asking you for. Bible says that we're to be fashioned by Christ. We're to be transformed by Him and not conformed by our thinking. And so the Bible says, yeah, it's going to be a trial when you go after this one. It's going to be a fiery trial. I like the thing about fire, though, is that it reduces everything to ashes. I like that. I like that thought. That when I give Him things, and I'm going to hope to the end, and I'm going to believe His word, that I'm going to be kept by His power through faith. That I'm not going down. When the enemy tells me, you think you're going to win this? Do you know how long this has been rooted in you? Do you know how this is so wrapped around your character that you don't even know how you can stop thinking about it? You don't even know how you can stop reacting about this. But this word is true whether we've battled something for 30 years or 30 days. This word is true whether we're 1 week in Christ or 30 years in Christ. God is no respecter of persons, but He's saying, who will stand up and challenge what is the stronghold and the obsessions and where our minds go and the lusts that drive us? Who will come and stand and say no to it and stand in the fire? Yes, it'll be agony. You know we won't want to be there. But God says, I'll be faithful to you. And you're going to find out that if you'll give it to me, when the fire dies down, it's just ashes. And the word says that Jesus gives us beauty for ashes. Verse 22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. I felt that what the Holy Spirit was saying to me is sometimes a test of, are we doing this? Do we want a transformed mind? Is how we are in our hearts, one with another, in the body of Christ. You know, we're church people. The scripture says that there can be some, although their words are like butter, war is in their heart. Could be us. And that there are some that we've turned in our spirit towards. The Bible says that ye have an unfeigned love for the brethren, a not pretended love of the brethren. Not pretended. That if there is something going on, if we don't have a sound mind towards someone in the body, but a soured mind, God's saying, you know, what are you going to do about it? Because, you know, sometimes it's so easy to walk in pretense the way we are one with another. God says, I can't hear your prayer. I can't answer that prayer when among yourselves you're going to go, you know, God, I thank you for that great victory here. But when we think about these people, it's, no, I don't want to be gracious. I don't want to humble myself before them. I don't want to go to them. I want them to come to me. I remember when they spoke against me. I remember when they moved against me. Or God, I don't want to have to admit about the jealousy in my heart. I don't want to have to deal with what that person, what rises in my heart when I look on them, when I have to deal with them. But beloved, how do we pray for a world out there when we resent and falsely pretended love in here? It doesn't work. We've got to get real on this one. In the Old Testament, you know, it talks about the kings going to tear down high places, when there would be a righteous king over Israel, and he'd have a lot of zeal, and it was like, okay, we're going to go to the idolatry in the land, and the places of worship where we worshiped idols, and under my watch, we're going to go tear down the idols. But you know, have you ever noticed, when you read in the Old Testament, how many times it says King so-and-so would go and tear down that idol, but he left this other one in place? He'd move against this idol, but he never touched the high places over there. Beloved, that's us. We'll say, God, I want you to rule my mind. But don't touch this part over here. Or we don't want to go there. Or we can't see it. There are places we don't want to go in our heart. And accept the Spirit of God come. And He lead us there. And He make a cleansing. And He do the purging. We don't get free. We will start preferring, I want freedom here and I want release here. But I love it where this scripture is saying, you purified your souls when there is an unfeigned love of the brethren, and see that you love one another fervently. I believe unity in the body of Christ is a supernatural occurrence. Because the enemy's soul fights constantly to sow suspicion and misunderstanding and turf wars. When he wants to divide us denominationally, when he wants to divide us in all kinds of ways, and there is a time for truth, but what's going on in our heart? Have we turned in our spirit? Are there people that, you know, God so hates pretense. I think that's why he's coming on this. That we will smile at one another, but in our hearts, if we could run them through, we would. And if they could do it to us, they would. In this church. And we're going to come now. We're going to pray for the city. And God's saying, no, I don't work that way. I'm going after what's fashioning you. I'm going with warping your speech and warping your attitudes because I love you. Because I can make a difference through you. Because I can cause you to pray such incredible prayers. There's panic in hell. But you've got to do it my way. There's got to be a clean sweep from head to toe. There has to be a determination. God, my thought life. And a good indication is search my heart, and those I have a resentment, those I have a bitterness, those I have a jealousy, those I will not make peace with, those that in my heart I will smile at them, but I will keep turned in my spirit, and I will never embrace them, I'll never humble myself, I will never say what I'm supposed to say. Beloved, let's not kid ourselves. Let's let this word be the mirror it's intended to be. Let's let God, when we come into His presence, let's know what it is to stand before Him. Cleanse, because we say, God, every wall You take down. Every bitterness, every turning in my spirit, every jealousy, every resentment. God, my flesh won't go there. My mind will give me reasons why I don't have to do this. But if Your Holy Spirit is speaking to me, I will bend my knee. Because I want to be formed by You in the inward part. I want to be able to get to my feet knowing I'm giving it to You, even though I'm standing in a fire. And I'm going to know that Your word says You're purifying me. It's going to, what my struggle is today, tomorrow will be a heap of ashes at my feet. That You'll anoint me with a beauty, an inward beauty where people are drawn to me, because I'm not about what was dominating my heart, my thought life before, and the gospel only gets out by cracks. Because unless God does this kind of inward work in us, we can go out in this world, and the right kind of people who rub us the right way, we can get along with, and our light can shine like a little crack through there. But we get in situations where our heart and our minds close down and shut down, and we get dominated by spirits of the enemy. We've got no light and we've got no power. But God says it's for freedom I died. My bride, the life I'm offering you is so awesome. That misshapen mind, those misshapen attitudes, those lusts that burn in you. Either I am God or I'm not. Either I can set you free or I don't. But tonight, let's settle it. God's word is true. He says you're going to be kept by the power of God through faith. You're going to be kept. If we need deliverance, we're going to be kept from going down under it. If we need that mind to be changed, if we need for once a victory in our life where the enemy is dominated, let's stand up tonight and say, God, You're going to keep me. God, I'm not going to escape. I don't want to escape Your dealing in my life. Because You're going to set me free tonight. Long-standing generational curses. You're going to set me free tonight. I'm going to lift up my will. Hallelujah. And I'm going to let this word be the last word. And I'm going to know its power when I believe it. I'm going to let You search every relationship I have in my life. And I'm not going to make excuses for the bitterness and the pain in my heart. I'm going to trust You. Because when I take down the walls and I approach people, I don't know how they're going to react to me. But God, I give You my heart and You'll put a wall around it. And for those that will be stubborn, for those that want to try to hurt those that want to walk it right, I found this scripture that says, God, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked who whet their tongue like a sword and shoot their arrows bitter words. God, hide me from their secret counsel. And those that are determined to do me wrong, God, I'm going to trust You in that. But I'm going to walk it right. I'm going to make it right. I'll humble myself. I'll move out in another spirit. I'm going to stand in a fire and ask You to give me the new words, the new heart, the new mind in this situation. And You're going to come and hide me. And those that encourage themselves in an evil matter, who commune privately and search out iniquities. You know those people? You know those people? I know some people. I know people. They are sent to search out my iniquities. They don't have to look very far some days. But I know they are. I know there's no grace in their eyes when they look at me. I know they're moving against me in jealousy, or they're moving against because they don't like my hair. I don't know what it is. But God gives you discernment. And those And those that want to be stubborn and won't make it right in the body, you're only fooling yourself. Because if we'll walk in the light, we walk in His light. We see things according to His light. And those that think they're hiding something, those that think with their smooth words nobody catches on, you're the last to know, most know, what's in your heart. And God says, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow, and suddenly they shall be wounded. That all those arrows they're trying to point at us, and all everything that they want to shoot and bring us down, God says, don't you worry about it. You take the walls down of bitterness, of distrust, of resentment. You take the walls down of the argument in your mind against them. You take your jealousy. You take it all down and find out, I'll put a wall against you. And when they shoot, their own tongue is going to fall on them. Hallelujah. One time I was speaking to someone, and as they were, I was speaking to them, the Holy Spirit just gave me a picture as they were talking to me. And I saw, I might have shared this before, but I saw a lizard walking in the sand. And as the lizard was walking along the sand, their tail was covering up all their tracks. Ever met anybody like that? They say everything right, and in their spirit, you know, they're running you through. And their tail was covering all their tracks. If you ever repeated everything they said, it seemed letter perfect, but you knew they were against you. But then that, if you, in the natural, you know, a lizard gets old, and its tail gets stiff. And it can't cover all its tracks. And the hawk sees the footprints and gets them. Yeah. That put a fear of God in me. Whenever I start acting like a lizard, I remember I'm not going to get away with this. We've come to pray tonight. We have to do it with a clean heart. We're promised a clean heart. Let's rise up and take it. Let's rise up and believe God for it. Don't let the enemy back us away from what Christ has died for and given us. Let's rise up in faith and believe for a new mind. Believe for a breaking of the passions. And believe God for the ability to love the brethren fervently. To take down our walls knowing God will protect us if we're among a group that will not hear this word. We're going to get to our feet tonight. We're going to be a mighty army for everyone that will hear this and apply by the Spirit this word. Will you stand with me? I felt tonight that the Lord was saying that no altar call tonight. Because, you know, if we gave an altar call and those that came to the front, everybody else staying in their seat would be made a liar. That we all have something God is dealing with us. And our love for Him and the fear of the Lord that's coming into our lives is what at this moment is going to allow us to open our heart before His powerful and loving Holy Spirit. We're going to believe a God who loved us is going to set us free. You know, we don't leave this place without a battle, knowing that in our mind it will be a battle. But we hope to the end, and God will not fail us. Father, we thank You that tonight we will pray mighty prayers because we're opening our heart to Your Spirit. Lord, the work that needs to be done. I ask you now, you will come. You will speak to us. And then, God, let us rise in faith and believe you. Believe, oh God, that we're going to know that victory. That, Lord, what we commit to you, we're going to be kept by your power. That, Lord, the enemy is defeated. That, Lord, we are going to know freedom in our minds. We are going to know freedom from lusts and passions. We are going to know freedom in every area where the enemy dominates. Because, Lord, by our will, we offer you these things. And then, Lord, your word says you come and you deliver us. Your way, your time, but you deliver us. So, Lord, we will not be pushed off the ground of hope. But, Lord, we ask you now for a right thinking. We ask you to come and judge the thoughts of our mind. We ask you to cause us to hate that which is birthed of the enemy. We ask you, O God, to give us a desire to walk clean and free in our minds. That, Lord, we will not surrender anymore in our thought life. Areas that we know you're displeased about. Areas that defile us. Areas, O God, that separate us from you. I thank you, you're a merciful God. I thank you, God, you cover us. I thank you, God, you'll do a thorough work. I thank you, God, that we're going to be a people who rejoice in your mercy, in your love. And I thank you, God, you're going to cause us to hope to the end because you will not disappoint us. That everyone who trusts you will never be left desolate. But God, we will find out you are God. We will find out you do rule and reign. We'll find out there's no corner of our mind that does not come under the headship and subjectship of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for every willing heart there's freedom. I thank you for every willing heart you come and you'll enter our mind, O God, and bring the light and the power we need. I thank you, Lord, you're going to cause in this body not an unfeigned, pretended love, but God, you're going to go to the issues. You'll go to the core of our heart and you'll give us the strength to walk it your way with humility and honesty without guile. That, Lord, we may stand as a unified body and plunder the enemy, plunder this city, oh God, and multitudes, thousands of souls will come in because we'll be an honest and a clean people by your grace through faith. Now, God, I ask you, in the closing minutes of this meeting, that we now, who desire what you've been speaking to us, we come by faith. We receive it by faith. We fight the fight through faith. And we, God, are victorious, kept by your power, O God. We are a victorious people. Now, God, let us lift up our voices to this city, knowing you'll hear us, for we are cleansed vessels. That you will hear us and move in our prayer because we do not have a pretended love. But God, you'll work in us. And God, you will deal with the issues of our people relationships. We entrust every personal relationship now into your hand. We ask you now to come and be Lord of it and to move in it. We trust you with it. And Lord, you will have a resolution, O God, for your glory. We trust you now with these relationships and with our thought life. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.